to the book of Haggai. It's one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. And, sometimes we don't look much at the minor prophets, and we should, because there's an awful lot in them. And we're going to be looking at quite a bit in the book of Haggai tonight. What? Oh, yeah, between the two Z's, my wife says. It's in the Old Testament. We're going to start with chapter 1, and we'll probably finish up with chapter 4. What, don't you use the King James Bible or what? Hey, okay, I'm going to tell you something about this, by the way. We were at Bible study one Wednesday night, this when we were in Minnesota, and the pastor, he asked me, he said, would you mind meeting in Haggai, starting at chapter 2, verse 15, through the end of the chapter? I said, sure. So I started reading. And I got down to verse 18, and everybody looked up. And I kept reading. And I went to 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, and 23, and I finished. And the pastor looked at me, and he says, let me look at your Bible. So I handed it to him, and he read through it. He says, I'll be right back. He got up, went to his office. About 45 minutes later, he came back. He says, okay, Bible study's over. And, we had prayer and we left. Well, we had prayer while he was gone, and then we left. Sunday morning, he came to church and stood up in front, and he had boxes piled up in the front of the church. I said, what the world's going on? So he went and he got up first, and he says, first thing I got to do is I got to apologize to everybody in this building. He says, I've been using the wrong Bible, and so have you. And he, behind the pulpit, he pulls out a trash can, and he takes what he was using, he threw it right in the trash can. He says, now, if you would like to come up and put yours in there, I'll give you a brand new King James. The whole church, everybody except us, came up, threw their Bibles away, and he gave them a brand new King James. He says, what happened is Wednesday night in Bible study, Brother Storm read from the King James Version, and he says he read five verses that were not in my, in our Bible. Five verses. And he says it changed my whole thought on the book of Haggai. And, that's why we need to be so careful what we use for a Bible. Because, I mean, if you use a Bible that doesn't have all the verses in it, you don't even know it. Unless you're a Bible scholar. And I don't think many of us are that way, even the preacher. But starting in verse number 1 of Haggai, chapter 1, it says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shimead, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josiah, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. I want to stop there. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to go on. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. I pray now that you'll guide and direct this message tonight. I know there's something in here for us. And I pray, Lord, you might take and help us and guide us to understand what it is. Speak through me, I pray, to the people here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I want to stop there, and the reason I wanted to stop there was that I want to give you a little introduction to the book of Haggai. Haggai was a prophet. He was one of the minor prophets. The reason he was called a minor prophet is because the book that he wrote is very small. Two chapters. And I encourage you to read the book of Haggai. It only takes you about 15 minutes to read it. And but there's an awful lot in it. And what we need to realize is that Haggai was a prophet during the time of Ezra. Who can tell me what Ezra did? What did Ezra do? Huh? Nope. Huh?
He wasn't a scribe?
Kind of. Go ahead, Mike.
Something to do with rebuilding the wall or the temple or both?
Temple. He was in charge of rebuilding the temple. Now, Darius came to Ezra. Actually went to Darius, and Darius had on his heart to allow the Jews to go back and build the temple. And that's what was going to happen. So they did. They went back and they started to build the temple. Now, all of a sudden, the temple building stopped. And God said to two prophets, Zechariah and to Haggai, you go and you encourage the people to go back to work, to rebuild the temple. And so here we see that if you go chronologically through the Bible, you would find that Ezra, the book of Ezra would come, and then the book of Haggai, and then the book of Zechariah. And then you would have the book of Nehemiah after that. And but chronologically, that's the way they would be in the Bible. Because Haggai, Zechariah, and Ezra were all three at the same time period. They were all three prophesying at the same time, doing the work that needed to get done for the temple. Okay, follow me so far. Now that was our introduction part of it. I wanted to let you know where we were in the Bible chronologically. And let's go to verse 3 now. It says, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lay waste? How therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, here we see that all of a sudden the work has stopped. The people are no longer building the temple because they say it's not time to build the temple. It's not God's will for us to be building the temple. We don't have enough material to build the temple the way it needs to be built. We don't have the gold. We don't have the silver. We don't have everything that was in the original temple. So they stopped. They stopped building it. Now, God says, consider your ways. He says, I want you to take and think about this for a minute, folks. The building stopped. Now, we're going to go on with the rest of the story. Let's continue reading here. Verse 6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm, and he that earneth wages to be put into a bag with what? Holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Consider your ways. He says, God says what? You know, you take and you plant seed, and you bring it in just a little bit. You eat a lot and you're still hungry. You drink a lot and you're not satisfied. You put clothes on and you're still cold. He says, listen to me, folks. Why is it? Consider your ways. You know, a lot of times this happens. All of a sudden, God tells us to take and do something and we go forward on it, to a point where we stop that work. And then we take and we say, well, you know, it's not God's will for us to do this or to do that anymore. You follow what I'm saying? Then all of a sudden you quit that ministry or you quit this ministry. All of a sudden the church has financial problems. All of a sudden the people in the church start having problems personally. Consider your ways. You know, my wife and I will be celebrating 45 years of marriage this year. And over that 45 years of marriage, I can tell you time and time and time and time and time again where we have done something that God didn't want us to do, and He has taken something else away from us. Why? Because we did not consider His ways. You know, if we would consider God's ways, we would live a whole lot better Christian life. In fact, we'd live a better life, period, if we would consider His ways. You know, here the Jews are saying, okay, it's not time for us to build the temple, even though God told Darius to send the people back to build it, even though everything was there that they needed for the time being, except for some lumber that they had to bring down from the north country. They had the workers there, and what did the workers do? They went and they built their own houses. Beautiful homes with ceilings and everything else in it, carpet, you know, 5-car garage, you know, the whole works, swimming pool in the backyard. You know, they had everything that they wanted in life in their houses, and God's house stood a shambles. God says, how much food are you getting out of the fields? Do you have the clothes on you would like to have? Do you have enough food to eat to fill your belly? Are you satisfied with what you're eating? The people are going, maybe he's got a point. Maybe there is a point here. God said, consider your way. Consider what you're doing. You're doing everything for yourself and nothing for me. Everything is so self-centered, and you're not doing anything for my honor and my glory, God said. You know, we're living in that society today, aren't we?
Yeah.
People are so self-centered, and they're so reluctant to do anything for God that they are only doing what they want for themselves. I was talking to a guy the other day, and we were talking basically about the same thing. That's kind of where I came from when I read the book of Haggai, where I came up with this message. But I said to him, I said, what do you do with your spare time? He said, what spare time? I said, well, what do you mean, what spare time? I said, you got to have spare time. He says, I work 2 jobs. I said, why do you work 2 jobs? He says, because I have a boat payment, I have a house payment,
that's right,
and I have 2 car payments.
Yeah.
I said to him, I said, wow, it sounds like you do a lot of vacationing. He says, let me tell you something. He says, we have not had a vacation in 3 years. He says, every time it comes around for me to have a vacation in one of my jobs, he says, I have to work the other job to get overtime in order to pay for what we need or what we want. And I said to him, I said, well, can I ask you a question? He said, what's that? I said, you said you had a boat. He goes, yeah. I said, how often do you take it out into the desert and run it? He looked at me and he says, you're funny. I said, how often do you go to the lake with it? He put his head down and he says, we haven't had that boat in the water for 2 years. I said, what are you paying a month for that boat? He says, $250. I said to him, I said, $250 a month for a boat that's sitting in your driveway that you never use. He looked down at me and he says, I got a four-wheeler too. I said, and you're paying on that too, aren't you? He says, yeah. And I said, that's in the garage, taking one of the stalls in your garage so that you have to park one car alongside the boat that you don't use. He looked at me and he goes, that's stupid, ain't it? I said, no. I said, that is the smartest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Having all these toys and you can't use them. I said, what would happen if you sold the boat and got rid of the four-wheeler? He said, well, that would take one of my jobs away from me. I said, wow, that'd be cool. Take one of your jobs away from you? So you didn't have to work two jobs? Yeah, but he says, then I'd have time to go boating and go four-wheeling, and I wouldn't have them. And I'm thinking to myself, something is wrong with this picture. You know, people do not use logic, and they didn't in the day of Haggai either. They were thinking of themselves and what they could do with themselves. They weren't thinking about the things of God. You know, go down to verse 8, it says, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build a house. I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought at home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Wow. God put the rubber right to the road, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He's telling these people exactly the way it is. You guys are doing everything you want to make all the money you can, and I'm holding back on you because you don't make the money you need to. And what are you doing? You're running to your home, hiding in your home, and my house is a waste. Man, when I was reading that, I got to thinking of churches across the nation today. And you know what? There's an awful lot of churches in waste today because people are thinking of themselves more than thinking of God. They're doing what feels good to them. They're doing the things that they want to do rather than the things that God wants them to do. And God is saying, okay, have your fun. But I'm not going to pour my blessing out on you. I'm not going to give you what you should have because you are holding out on me. Just what he's saying. My house is a waste. You were supposed to be building my house. You're supposed to be reaching as many as you could for the cause of Christ. But yet, you ran to your houses and you stayed there instead of doing what you need to do. You know, so many times God will take and bring things into the Bible and I read it and I go, man, how did he know what today was going to be like? Amen? You know, put on the, let's keep going here. It says, let's go down to verse 11. It says, and I called for the drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shimei, and Joshua, the son of Josiadat, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, in the words of Haggai, the prophet, as the Lord, their God, had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Now, what happened? All of a sudden, the people are going, wait a minute, hold it. Haggai is right. Everything that he said is true. Our bank accounts are zero. We have mortgages up to our eyeballs to pay. And guess what? We don't have enough food in the house. The food bank lines are longer and longer and longer. And there's not enough food for anybody. Now, do you mean, and I can see him looking at Haggai, and saying, do you mean, Haggai, that it's because we did not build the house of God that all this bad is happening to us? I wonder if we in America would live better if we turned back to God.
Amen.
I wonder if we would have better families if we started bringing our kids to church. I wonder if we'd have a new generation that would look to God of heaven and say, I'm going to trust you. I'm in the process of working on another message, and the title of the message is, Why Did God's Word Leave? Why did God's Word leave? And I got it about half done. I was going to preach it tonight, and I didn't have it quite where I wanted it, and so that's why I'm preaching this one. But here we see that Haggai is saying, you got to do what God wants you to do. If you don't, God's going to punish you. And if God punishes you, you're going to know it's His hand that's doing it. Look at verse 13. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. The people were afraid of their enemies. That's why they quit working. They heard all the enemies around them saying, oh, you can't build that out of that. After all, what were they building the temple out of? Everything that had been knocked down. That's what they're building out. They didn't have any new stones. They're building out the old stones. And they started believing a lie. You know, when we start believing other religions, it's a lie. And then we run into trouble. And we wonder why God isn't blessing us like He did at one time. And it's because we quit doing God's work. First thing was consider your way. The second thing is go over to chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at a little bit here. In verses 1 through 13, or 12, it's talking about what has to go into the temple. Verse 8, it says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. He says, everything that goes into this temple, the silver and the gold are all mine. Nobody can have them. Period. They're mine. Now, if you go down and you get down to verse 13, it says, then says Haggai, if one is unclean by the dead body, touch of any of these, shall it be unclean. And the priest answered and said, it should be unclean. Then said Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upwards. What he's saying is, I want you to consider this. First, he said, I want you to consider your way. Now, he's saying, I want you to consider this. And he says, and now I pray you consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since these days were when one came to a heap of 20 measures, and there but 10, and when one came to the press fat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and with the labors of your hands, yet ye turned what? Saith the Lord. He's saying, okay, now, I want you to consider your ways, because this is what you're doing wrong. Now, you have a heart to work. If you go back to the book of Ezra, you'll see all of a sudden the people had a heart to work and went back to work. They started building the temple. Now, God is saying this. I want you to consider this. And don't you forget it. You remember when you brought things in and I caused them to mildew and they spoiled and you had to throw them all away? Do you remember that? Do you remember when you brought the grapes into the wine press and you squashed the grapes and you should have had this much, but you only had that much? Do you remember that? That's what God's saying. He says, consider this, because that's going to happen to you again if you ever turn your back on me. Wow. Why is it we as Christians can't learn from those who have already went through it? Amen? I mean, let's face it, the Israelites were not the smartest of people. I mean, God had to hit them over the head and 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 hit them over the head before they ever learned, and they still didn't learn. Much like us. But he said, I want you to consider this, because this is going to happen to you again. I'm not going to let your crops grow what they could. And once you bring them in, I'm going to cause them to mildew to where they're unusable. Not only that, but your wine presses are only going to give half or a quarter of what they should. You're going to go hungry, just like you are now. I want you to consider this. Because I, the God of heaven, can do it. I was thinking the other night, I don't know why I thought this, but I did. If we had a drought come across the United States like they had back in the 1930s during the Dust Bowl, how long would it be until people were killing people for food? There was a study done last year, or the year before, I think it was, on how much food there is on store shelves in the Phoenix area. And they took in Coolidge, they took in all the area, the whole area. There was enough food on the store shelves for 2 days. 2 days.
Really?
2 days. That's it. 2 days. 2 days, the store shelves would be empty. There would be nothing to be found anywhere in the valley to buy for food. Nothing. Of the food they bought, they would have enough for 5 days with what they had in their houses. In 1 week, 7 days, people would be out of food. Within 10 days, people would be killing people for food. That's scary. It is. Now, the difference between the 1930s and now was that 80% of all the people back in the 1930s lived on farms. 20% lived in the cities. Now, 10% live on farms and 90% live in the cities. So we're relying on 10% to grow 90%. And if all of a sudden God said, we're going to have drought, forecasters are saying that within the next 3 to 4 years, we could see another dust bowl of the 1930s here in the United States. Yep. Well, if you saw on the Weather Channel the other night, they had a thing on there. It's called the 100 Meridian. It's called the 100 Meridian, where it runs right through the United States, the 100 Meridian. In the 1930s, the 100 Meridian, right along the 100 Meridian, was where the line was for all of the weather patterns, right along the 100 Meridian. That's where it's going to be in 2018, 2019, right along that 100 Meridian. In the 1930s, when they had the Dust Bowl, that's exactly where it was. I'm not saying that we need to take and stock up food, but I'm saying it'd be wise to have a little bit on hand. Amen? Now, with that said, God is saying here to the children of Israel, if you don't do what I want, if you don't consider this, I'm going to do it again to you. And we in this country need to consider this right now, because I'll tell you what, it could very easily happen to us again. Last point and I'm done. Verse 18. Consider what?
Now.
Consider now. That's my third point. From this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth. From this day will I... What?
Wow.
The people considered now. The people considered now. They said, okay, Lord, you brought all the bad on us. We're going to listen to what you say. We're going to take and start building the temple like you told us to. From the very day the cornerstone was laid to rebuild the temple, God says, okay, I'm going to bless you. You did what I told you to do, and I am going to bless you. I'm going to take care of everything from here on out. From here on out, you don't have to worry about the seed in the ground. You don't have to worry about the grapes and the vines. You don't have to worry about having enough food to eat. You don't have to worry about the clothes on your back. You don't have to worry about anything, because I am going to bless you. Wow. Isn't it neat to be in obedience of God? Isn't it neat to know that we have a God that can take care of everything? It isn't that, oh, I can do this on my own.
Go ahead and try it. Fall flat on your face.
You know, I am so glad that I serve a God who can. I am so glad that I serve a God who will supply my every need according to His riches in heaven through Christ Jesus. I am so glad that I have a God of promise that will never go back on His promise. And I'm so glad that I know where I'm going to go when I die. You know, if you go back through and you look at the life then of the children of Israel from that time forward, they were a very plenteous nation. They had lots of oil. They had lots of corn. They had lots of clothes. They had lots of everything. Why? Because God blessed them. You know, I always think of that song, and we're going to sing it, Trust and Obey. But, you know, what we need to realize is this, is that so many times we don't trust God to do what He says. And the reason we don't trust Him is because we don't believe that He will do what He says. Or can do what He says. You know, I believe there's an awful lot of people today that believe that God is just a puny God, that He doesn't have the power that He says He does. What number is that? 337. But you know, if we would only do what God wants us to, I guarantee that we would have a lot better life. 337. Let's all stand. We'll sing verses 1.